Hi there, Rachel here. If you're listening to this episode in May of 2024, I have some big news. After selling out during the holiday season, my Flex of Gold journal is available for pre-order right now and will be shipping to your home by the end of June. To celebrate, we're running an amazing pre-order sale for Mother's Day. Purchase the journal before May 13th and you'll get $10 off every journal. This is our best price of the year, even better than Black Friday, so it's the perfect time to stock up for gifts for family and friends. This three-year journal helps mothers to notice, savor, and write down the fleeting golden moments that they experience with their children each day. So go to 3and30podcast.com/flexofgold to reserve your copy, and you'll also see our brand new cover colors, as well as our new cover option, which is a wipeable vegan leather. So again, go to 3and30podcast.com/flexofgold to pre-order your journal, and from now until Mother's Day 2024, they'll be marked down by $10 each. I can't wait for you to experience the magic of this beautiful gratitude journal for mothers. Welcome to 3 and 30, a podcast to help you feel more like yourself within your motherhood. Each 30-minute episode features three actionable takeaways to help you become a more self-assured mom, someone who knows yourself, honors your needs, and loves your people. Listen in to feel encouraged as we learn together how to overcome overwhelm and find more magic in motherhood. I'm your host, Rachel Nielsen. I'm so glad you're here. Today, I have a special treat for you. I'm re-airing the audio of a class that my dear friend, Miranda Anderson, taught for a group of 3 and 30 listeners back at the end of 2019. Does that feel like a lifetime ago? It sure does for me, and yet the wisdom that Miranda shares in this class about decluttering our busy schedules is timeless, and I know we all need a refresher. I love to periodically teach classes like this live on Zoom, sometimes with a guest speaker and sometimes just on my own, and I actually have a free live class coming up this week if you're listening to this episode when it first comes out. I'll be teaching a class tonight, Monday, April 1st at 7 p.m. Mountain Time, and again on Thursday, April 4th at 11 a.m. Mountain Time. It's the same content both times, so just choose a time that's best for you and reserve your seat by going to 3and30podcast.com/masterclass. So my class this week will be three concrete strategies for overcoming overwhelm in motherhood. And today's podcast episode is going to get you started thinking about that topic as well, because Miranda shares three takeaways for decluttering your overwhelming schedule and building a life that feels aligned with your unique values and priorities. By way of introduction, Miranda Anderson is the founder of the Live Free Creative Company. With a master's degree in applied positive psychology, Miranda's mission is to share practical ways we can apply the science of well-being to our everyday lives. She hosts a weekly podcast called Practically Happy, as well as does one-on-one coaching for individuals who want to clarify their goals and receive accountability and support as they build a life that they love. Her first book, More Than Enough, chronicles her family's experience of going a full year without buying any non-consumable goods as an experiment in practical minimalism. Miranda lives in Richmond, Virginia with her husband, two teens, one tween, two dogs, two cats, and five chickens. She is a dear friend and mentor to me, and it was thrilling to get to host her as a guest speaker for this Zoom class. So with no further ado, here's an excerpt from the audio recording.
I have been on a journey of intentional living for the last 5 years, really when my third child was born. Actually, when I decided I wanted to become pregnant with my third child, I felt like my life was already full to capacity. And I came home from a conference that had really impacted me. And I told my husband, I want to have another baby. And at the time, he was in his third year of law school. I had two little boys. We were living in a 900 square foot apartment in DC. I was running a full-time blog. I was running a full-time sewing business from home. I did custom sewing, wedding dresses and costumes and all sorts of things. And I was doing everything all at the same time. And then I said, and I want to have another baby. And my husband said, there's no way that we can do everything we're doing and add more. And so I realized that it was like the very first time in my life that I realized that I needed to start subtracting. Life wasn't just about always adding more and more and more. That like at some point, I needed to actually make decisions and not just choose everything. I had to choose what was not going to fit in my life. And so I decided that I was going to stop blogging for a year, which was crazy because it had been something I had done consistently daily since 2007. So for 6 years, it had been part of my regular practice. But as I evaluated my life, I realized that that was my lowest priority. And it was like, I actually had to shift. It was like the application of, you know, I know we all know that things can be prioritized in our lives, but it's not very often that our priorities come in direct conflict. And we have to actually make a choice where we say we're going to keep one and get rid of the other. And starting on that journey of, okay, I'm going to stop blogging, gave me the confidence to realize that I am in control of the choices that I make, of not only how I spend my time, the actual possessions that I bring into my life, the way that I spend all of my resources, my time, my money, my energy. And it's kind of something that I have gone step by step. And at each step, I learn new things that then enable me to apply more and more and more. And it's been really fantastic. So,
can I just jump in and say that before I knew that much about you, I heard you on a podcast episode and I heard you say that you had, after blogging for 6 years and pouring and building this whole business, that you decided to stop for a year so that you could have a baby, and that you had faith that it would still be there when you got done and when you were ready to jump back in. And I was like, whoa, because that is not what we hear in the industry. The gurus and experts say, don't do that, because then all of the momentum that you've built and everything that you've put in will be lost. And I really credit people like you, Miranda, for showing others it's possible, because you came back to your business and built it, continued to build it, and it's thriving today, even after that year-long break, right?
Yeah, it was interesting. I had to make the decision to stop, not knowing. Well, I mean, my hypothesis was that my traffic would crash and that all the people who had been followers for so long would not be there. And even in the face of that decision, my choice was, I want to do what's right for my life and be relevant in my own life, even if that means that I'm not relevant on the internet, because this is where I actually live, like in my body, in my home with my family. And so the surprising thing was that my traffic not only stayed consistent, but it continued to grow. And I came back to my blog with more clarity, like my own mental space was better. I had taken enough of a pause to reevaluate and to put some plans in place. And that next year that I came back stronger and better than I ever had before. And I think it's because of the pause, because if I had just continued on, I would have done what I was always doing, because that's what we do. We do what we always do. We want to do what's comfortable. Even if it's not working, we will opt as humans to do the things that we're already doing because we know what the outcomes are. And not knowing the outcome is scary enough that it keeps us from making changes. But if we make changes, that is the only way to understand what we're actually capable of. So this is such a great setup for my takeaway number one for decluttering your schedule, is that everything is optional. We truly believe that there are things in our schedules that are absolute. And I think if you allow yourself to consider that every single thing on your schedule is optional, that you are immediately able to feel some freedom. You clear everything off of your schedule and you decide what actually adds value. What is something that brings joy into your life and into your family's life, rather than keeping ourselves confined in the box of everything that we have signed up for, or everything we've raised our hand for, or everything that we've said yes to is something that we then have to do. I think that we owe it to ourselves to understand that we can say no, we can clear things off, we can discontinue things that we've been doing for a long time, like the example of not blogging. You know, after 6 years of consistently doing that, saying, you know what, this is something that I felt like was like my right arm, but it's not. I can put it down for a while and that will be okay.
This is a topic that we've talked about with decluttering your motherhood. So we talk about it like it's decluttering your closet. You take everything in your life out and then you decide what deserves to go back in because it actually brings you joy.
Right.
But there are those things that don't seem optional, like feeding your family, laundry. The pushback I always get in my workshops is, what about those things? What do you do with those things that don't seem optional?
Yeah. Okay. So I think that, we're going to get a little bit existential for a second. Let's talk about laundry. What would happen if you just didn't do the laundry for a week? or 2 weeks or a month? Would anyone in your family die? Would your house burn down? Would you no longer be able to survive? People would wear dirty clothes. I'm not saying that I think that you should stop doing your laundry, but I am saying that we believe that every single thing is like crucial to this overall picture. And I think that not all of it is. And people are so different. So like ask a few different people, how do they do their laundry? I have friends that do their laundry the same day, the same time, every single week. This is their system. I have people who do laundry every single day. I know people that do laundry like honestly once a month because they either rewear their clothes or they have enough clothes that they just don't have to do it that often. But if you asked any of those people to switch up their own routine, they would think that it was crazy talk because the way that they're doing it is the only way that they believe it should be done, right?
Like this is a kind of an overarching principle that just gets you thinking. Whether or not you're going to stop doing your laundry, it's just recognizing and acknowledging that you have choices in your life. In fact, everything in your life is a choice.
Yeah, it really is. I like to play that movie to the end with anything that I think, like that I think is not optional. Play it out to the end. What if I decided to not do this anymore? Maybe the outcome is not favorable, and so you decide to do it. But it is important to know that you always have the choice. And I think that what it requires is just a little bit of mindset tweaking because this, and as soon as you start to feel yourself feel that pressure of like, oh, but what about this thing or that thing? My life is different. I'm unique. I have things in my life that are not optional. I want you to understand that that pressure is where you need to actually do a little examination because that tension is where you have a blockage against your capabilities and your choice. You feel like there are things that you don't have freedom in when my hypothesis is that we have far more freedom than we give ourselves the option of choosing. And why? If we have all of these choices, why don't we use them?
So how can we make this actionable for them right now?
So I would just say, I think that just asking yourself this question, what things do I feel are not optional? And writing a few things down that have come up for you as we've been discussing this, what are those things that feel like barriers to me doing the things that I want to do? What are the things in my life that don't feel optional? Write those down so that you have them there to start giving a little bit more thought to. Those are your obstacles. And then your job is to come up with, use your creativity to come up with how are some ways that I can get around these feeling like challenges or obstacles in my life.
Great. Let's take a quick break to thank this episode's sponsors. Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. Did you know it's important to shift your skincare routines with the seasons? Things like dry, flaky skin, redness, even fine lines and wrinkles are a reflection of what's happening at the cellular level. So give your skin the TLC it needs to stay healthy, smooth, and hydrated as we move into warmer weather. I am loving how easy it is to use OneSkin's OS1 Topical Face Supplement Essential Moisturizer. I just cleanse, pat my skin dry, and apply twice daily. I can really feel and see a difference since I started using it. In fact, I just signed myself up for a subscription. That's how much I'm liking it. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code 3in30 at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code 3in30. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we sent you. New year, healthier skin. That's OneSkin. Help your skin stay younger and healthier for longer with OneSkin. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. I have a question for you. If you had an extra hour in your day, how would you spend it? Maybe you know right away, or maybe you think, gosh, where would I even start? I have so many priorities and desires that constantly get pushed to the back burner that it would be difficult to decide which I would focus on during that extra hour. One of the best ways I've found to slow down and get clear on my personal values and how I want to spend my time is by going to therapy. Having that time set aside to reflect on my life with a trained counselor and talk through the stresses and overwhelm has been invaluable to me. I love that I can meet with my counselor online from the comfort of my own home at a time that's convenient for me. Recently, therapy has helped me realize that I need to prioritize more social connections with friends and family, even when life is crazy busy. Are you feeling a lack of connection in your life too? Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/3in30 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/3in30.
So takeaway number two is another, this is something that I feel like has absolutely transformed my mindset. And I use it every single day to coach myself through things that feel a little bit difficult. And takeaway number two is that time is a cycle. I want you to think about a circle. Think about the seasons that we go through in the year. Right now, we're headed into winter, right? So the leaves are falling from the trees. All of my flowers are kind of going into dormancy where they're going to put their roots down deep for the winter, but they're not going to flower. They're not going to grow any new leaves. They're just, everything kind of gets quiet, right? For a while. And then we get this deep freeze and then we go into the spring where everything starts to warm up again and everything starts to bloom again and everything kind of like flourishes. And then the heat of the summer when there's an abundance of growth in vegetables and fruits and all of those things. And we come back around to the fall and the harvest and the partaking of all of that goodness that has come, and then back into where things are closing down and falling again, right? So we all understand the seasonal nature of weather. But do we really believe that time itself is a cycle, that time is seasonal? I don't know if you guys have seen a lot of these memes and things coming up with like, we only have 30 days until the end of a decade. What are you going to do with your life, with your last 30 days of the decade? I'm like, is there anything that causes more overwhelm and stress than saying, you have 30 days to like make this the best decade ever? I'm like, no. Time doesn't end at the end of a decade. It simply turns over into a new year. Everything is a cycle. Everything is a circle. And we tend to think about time in our schedules as having an open and a close of opportunity. We think there are time slots where things are available to us. And if we don't do it within that space, that we can no longer do it or it's no longer valid. The seasons of our life, like actually physically seasons as women, we have a month-long cycle, right? Our physicality, our bodies have a cycle with time. And I notice that when my cycle is high and my energy is high, and also the days that I want to just lay in my bed and eat chocolate for like 3 days of the month, anyone else have, you know, some consistency with their cycle? I think that it's really powerful to acknowledge in our scheduling the seasons and cycles of time. And so I ask myself, does my schedule reflect the cycles, the natural cycles of my own body, as well as the cycles that are existing in time? The season of having young children, when I was pregnant with all three of my children, I was down for the count, like so sick, so tired. I didn't want to smell anything. I didn't want to hang out with anyone. I remember, especially with my first and second pregnancies, feeling so frustrated and sad that I didn't feel like myself. I'm a go-getter. I've always been a high-energy person, a high-achieving person. And I remember feeling like I was wrong. Something was wrong with me because I didn't have the energy to do all of the things that I wanted to do while I was pregnant. Rather than understanding this number two, understanding that time is a cycle and that I was in a season of growing a child. Like that was the most energy that I had ever put into anything, but I didn't recognize it as such. And so I felt frustrated. And so kind of embracing the season that you're in the present, knowing that just like the leaves will fall from the trees and then they'll hibernate and then they'll grow back and flourish again, that it's okay for you to not feel the same all the time. It's okay to not be motivated every single day. It's okay to have entire weeks that your schedule is really clear because you recognize that you're sick or you just need some time.
So there's a question here from Sarah Bennett. Do you want to just unmute and ask it, Sarah?
Okay.
There you go.
My husband, he is super high energy. Like it's one of my favorite things I love about him. But so I don't know if it's because of being married to him, but I struggle with the ebbs and flows because I want that high energy all the time. Because honestly, that's where he is. He goes all the time, constantly. So you were just talking about that, but I'm still like, how do you respect that and be okay with that? That's a mystery to me because I probably way more respect when I have the high energy, but the low energy, you know, that's what I shame.
I think that So the first thing that comes to mind is that it's really important to understand where that high energy comes from, because it doesn't come from nowhere. Think about a plant, for example. Let's talk about a tree. I've got a beautiful one outside my window, except for it's not beautiful right now because it's a stick right now. But in 4 months, my tree, it's a tulip magnolia, it is going to be full of bright purple tulips, flowers on the branches. The entire tree looks like a giant bouquet of purple tulips. Where do you think that energy came from for the tree to be able to burst into flowers and grow all of that beauty and sustain it for the next couple months? Where does it get that energy?
Well, for sure, from those low times, right? Like that's a really good.
Yes, yeah. It gets it from this season of repose. The reason that nature is able to spring forth in the spring and sustain that through the summer is because it spends half of the year in dormancy gathering energy. This is exactly what I'm talking about, because the struggle that you're facing, this idea that we need to be high energy all of the time, doesn't respect that time is a cycle. It doesn't respect that there are seasons. What happens? Have you ever known anyone who has gone full energy all the time for their whole lives? Usually what happens?
They have a breakdown.
That is what happened. If you try to go full energy all the time and push through those seasons that you feel like, oh, I don't really feel like it, or I'm tired, or you know, I need to rest, but I'm not going to because I think that I need to be full energy all the time, you will burn out. You will get to the point where you can no longer have energy at all. We may still be frustrated. Sarah, I know that I still, like, I'll have days that I think to myself, I don't really feel like doing anything today. And I have to tell myself that probably means that I am having a little bit of dip in my energy, like my natural energy. I've probably put forth a lot of effort, whether it's emotional effort because of things that I'm working through with my spouse or my kids or my family or like the school, or it's physical effort, like I, you know, ran a couple miles and then I raked my whole yard, or, you know, whatever the reason. When I start to feel like my energy is waning, because I understand this, I can first acknowledge it. Okay, my energy is a little bit low. And then I can try to match whatever I expect of myself to that level of energy rather than trying to push through it. There's a lot of low energy things that we can do that are still accomplishments, right? Laundry is a great example of something that doesn't require a whole lot of creativity or a whole lot of physical stamina, right? Like you can, you know, do a couple loads of laundry and sit and watch a favorite show or listen to a podcast when you have very little energy. And that's a great time of day or of the week to do those things that don't require a lot of energy. And then save the things that need creativity, that need more energy and effort for the times that you have it. I think that it is really helpful. As a very first step, it's just helpful to understand that low energy means building. It means building up for what next.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Miranda. And I wanted to read this other comment by Christy because it goes right along with the nature metaphors, which I love. Christy said, "My aunt wisely told me once, trees drop their leaves or their branches would break. There are seasons to let things go, knowing opportunities will cycle back through and timing will be better during a different season." I think it's the same principle. And that's so true. If that beautiful purple tree outside your window continued to get more and more blossoms on it, it would break. It couldn't support it. And it has to drop it all and regroup and then spring forth again. And it's all just part of the cycle.
Yeah. I think also we can get caught up in the idea of like, I don't feel well right now and I'm never going to feel well ever again. But that's not true. And so I know that my motivation will come back. I know that I'll have times that I want to just accomplish all of the things. And so if I spend a couple days resting and catching up on podcast episodes and doing my yard work, because that feels less hard to me than doing some creative like work for my business, then that's okay. And understanding that it'll come back around.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So then the final takeaway for today is to put the big rocks in first. How many of you have read The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey?
Well, I actually haven't read it, but I feel like I
I know this metaphor.
Okay.
Along with sharpen the saw, like all these things that come from that I've never actually read the book, but I need to because there's some pretty great things in there.
It's a good one. Yeah, it's a really great one. If you haven't heard this story, I'm just going to quickly recount it. The idea is that you get a jar, and if you have some big rocks and some small rocks and some sand, and you put the sand in first and then the small rocks, the big rocks won't fit, right? But if you dump it all out and you put the big rocks in first and then the small rocks will kind of filter in around the big rocks. And then you pour the sand in, and you can put, this is an actual, like you could do this at home with your kid. You can pour the sand in, and the sand, because it's so small, will trickle into all those little spaces around and you can fit everything. But it only works to fit everything if you start with the big rocks. So the third takeaway for your schedule is to put the big rocks in first. And I want to let you know that one of the big rocks is yourself. We tend to think of ourselves as the sand. And we want to put the big rocks in, which are taking care of our kids, doing our church responsibilities, doing our school or work responsibilities, doing the laundry. We think of everything else before we think of ourselves, and then we see what's left over, what little bits of sand can we do to take care of our own health, to take care of our own well-being, to take care of the things that we need. And if you do that, you won't have room for the sand. And if you don't fit in your jar, then you are unable to serve in any capacity as a good mom, as a good wife, as a good worker, employee, a sister, all of the roles that you fill. You will be unable to fill with purpose if you have not put yourself in the center of your own life. And those self-care habits may be different for everyone, depending on your spiritual practices, depending on your physical practices. But what are the things that you need to do for your own physical, spiritual, mental, and I guess social well-being? If you don't have aspects of your life in your schedule, in your calendar that fulfill those areas of your personal life, then you are not putting one of the biggest rocks in first. And there might not be room for it at the end. Okay. So recently, just like a couple months ago, my third child went to school all day. So I all of a sudden, for the first time in 10 years, have from the morning until the late afternoon, every single day, that my kids aren't home. And I felt like there was a lot of pressure. Like it was exciting, but there was also a lot of pressure involved with like, what am I going to do with all this time? I mean, I know what I'm getting, like I have so many things I want to do with it, right? So I backed up and I cleared my whole schedule. And kind of like we were talking about earlier with cleaning out your closet, this is what I would suggest for you to do after this call with your own schedule. Take everything out, because the takeaway number one, everything is optional. Consider what adds value right now in this season. What are the things that I want to do right now in this season? And I did something new. I asked myself the question, what are things that I love that I'm not doing on a regular basis? What are things that I know bring me joy and fill me up that I haven't included in my regular life? And I put those things on my schedule. So I walk outside every day. I ride my bike at least once a week, and I usually am riding it to somewhere in town where I can like go get lunch, or I ride it. I live right downtown in Richmond, which is so fun, but I wasn't taking advantage. We've lived here for 2.5 years and I wasn't taking advantage of this area that I live in. But one of the things that I love is living right in the city where I can ride my bike to the market and get lunch. I wasn't doing it, but there wasn't a reason except for that I just hadn't decided that it was important enough. And as soon as I scheduled it in, I have felt like I have more time and more energy because I'm doing the things that light me up. And then because of that, I have added well-being and energy and excitement and enthusiasm that I can then share with others. I'm a better mom. I'm a better wife. I'm a better employee when I'm doing work for other people. I am better overall because I've decided the things that matter most to me are the things that really deserve the first place within my schedule.
I love that. And I love, because I feel like when we hear this concept of the big rocks, we think that they have to be self-care things like exercise, eating well, sleeping, or like spiritual, like prayer. And those are all great things.
These are great.
That a big rock could also be taking myself to lunch once a week because I love it so much. And we've talked about the term self-centered and how really you should be self-centered, as in like centered in your true sense of self.
Yeah.
And aligning with who you really are. But one thing that you said, Miranda, is you said you were talking about you as the rock, you as a rock in your jar. And you said something about you have to put yourself in the center of your jar. And I think of that as self-centered in a good way.
Right.
You're in the center of your jar. You go in first, your big rock, and then everything else can fill in around it. And it will fit. Everything else that matters will fit
right.
if you put yourself in the center of the jar.
Yes. So, and the things that you find that don't fit are the things that don't actually matter. As you adjust this and you clear your schedule and you reevaluate and you decide what are the things that I need to do for me, the things that for years I've been saying I wanted to do that I just haven't done yet, and you decide to do them, there will be things that no longer fit. There will be things that you have done that you thought you should do, that a good mom does this, a good churchgoer does this, a good wife does this, and you decide on other things. And so those things just don't fit anymore. That means that they aren't right for right now. And that doesn't mean that they're never going to be right again, but it's okay for your life to look different if the way that it looks different is better. It's okay to make changes that actually bring more joy and satisfaction and well-being into your life. So don't be afraid of your life feeling and looking different as you do these exercises to declutter your schedule, because if it looks better in a good way, then you're doing it right.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Miranda, for these three takeaways.
Thank you so much for inviting me and letting me share some thoughts. And I hope that it's been helpful, or at least has adjusted a mindset shift here and there.
I hope you enjoyed an excerpt of that class with Miranda and had all sorts of epiphanies and takeaways. She is so incredibly wise, and I am grateful beyond words that I get to experience her wisdom in real life, because she's become a treasured friend over the past 5 years since she taught that class. We knew each other a little bit before that, just through our online work, but we have since become in real life friends, and she's every bit as wonderful as she seems. So if you want more wisdom from Miranda, you can find her podcast by looking up Practically Happy in your favorite podcast listening app. And as you work to declutter your schedule and build a more intentional life, remember Miranda's three takeaways. First, everything is optional. Give yourself permission to think of your life as a blank slate. If it's all optional, what will you choose to do? Either because you want to or because the alternative is not appealing to you. This doesn't mean that everything in your life will be fun, but it does mean that you will feel more agency over everything in your life, instead of feeling stuck in victimhood and resentment about your busy schedule. Second, time is a cycle. Just like the natural world and the rhythms of our female bodies, we go through different seasons and levels of energy, and that is okay. It's more than okay, it is optimal. We need seasons of rest, and as we stop trying to fight against that and we start to accept the cyclical nature of time, we will find more peace in our lives and allow more room in our schedules. And third and finally, put the big rocks, aka you, into your schedule first. If you try to squeeze in some soul care as an afterthought, after all the work, kids, church, neighborhood, soccer team, housework, and volunteer commitments, you're not likely to often feel centered and at peace, because there simply won't be time left for you. Prioritize some things in your schedule that just sound fun to you, and allow them to matter as much or even more than some of the more serious commitments. I love these takeaways, and I can't wait to build on them in my masterclass on overwhelm this week. So don't forget to get signed up for that at 3and30podcast.com/masterclass. It's not very often that I get to be live with the women in this community, so I am truly excited about it. My friends, we don't have to run around feeling frazzled and overwhelmed all the time due to our chaotic schedules. Let's start decluttering and reprioritizing today. I'm rooting for you, and I hope you have a beautiful week with your family.